Hey, everybody. It's Wednesday evening. It's 8 p.m. It seems too long between shows to talk to all of you, I got to admit. With so much going on in the world, we'd love to be here more. And that depends on you. As we grow New Jersey Revolution Radio, you're a part of that. Donations are starting to come in a little bit better, and we appreciate every dollar. We know people are saving. Your Trump checks are coming, and if you have a few extra bucks, please, I'm going to explain more about where your dollars go a little later in the show. I also want to take this chance to thank Hub City Smokes. Hub City Smokes is in New Brunswick, New Jersey. You can go there for glassware, custom art, all that kind of stuff. They are big on Instagram, so I know that's the best way to get in touch with Dimitri and crew. Check them out on Instagram, Hub City Smokes in New Jersey, 84 Patterson Street. They are not an essential business right now, so they ain't open. But, you know, we want to make sure that any contact you have with our sponsors, let them know you heard about us on New Jersey Revolution Radio. They mean a lot to us. They stick their necks out. They help us, you know, run the operation here. And we need to make sure that we let them know it's appreciated. So if you get a chance to any of our sponsors, if you see them down on the ticker, support their events. These are things that create a community of, you know, support. And so we're looking forward to growing that community and being a part of it and all that. And of course, one of the most important parts of that community is my partner, Diane Moxley. Hi, Diane. How are you?
Good, good. How are you?
Okay, hanging in there. Saw my mom and dad today. Did a safe visit. My parents are a little, you know, they're in risk groups for several reasons, but they had an old TV that they Lysoled and left out for me. So I sat on the front porch through the glass door and I talked to them for a little while. It was nice to see my mom and dad again, you know.
Oh, how are they holding up? They're holding up okay.
You know, yeah, they're pretty well adjusted to it. My dad's been retired for a long time, but he misses his golf games. And like everybody else, they're missing stuff. We're missing stuff. But they're in the digital world. And my mom had her book club online, and I lent her our Zoom room here at New Jersey Revolution Radio. It was borrowed from my mom's book club to have tea. And, you know, they're making the most out of it like everybody else. You know, my dad, who's a big NASCAR fan, is now watching video game NASCAR. I guess they're playing video game NASCAR in place of old NASCAR. I'm not a NASCAR fan, so.
Oh, great. Yeah, we have to adapt, but it's important to still figure out how to keep our routines and socialize, even if it's virtual, right?
It is. Now, do you remember back, you organized with 15 Now a little bit. We did some Zoom room and Google group room meetings back in the day. You were on some of those calls, right?
I believe I was, because I was, I guess, what was that in, was it 2014, 2015, right?
Yeah, somewhere back there. And I used to do something to open those meetings, and I wanted to do it here real quick today because we used to do this. And I took this from union meetings, and many organizations take a minute to say a Pledge of Allegiance or whatever. But we would take a moment of silence before every meeting and just take a minute to think about the fallen workers. You know, people who died on the job, people who sacrificed their life for labor and various other causes. And I do think it's appropriate. You know, I mean, I wanted to, you know, we want to have a little fun on this show. No doubt that New Jersey Revolution Radio tries to make it a little bit of fun. I take the attitude that activism should be a little bit of fun. You have to enjoy this because it can be very stressful. You're trying to do serious things. But, you know, this topic and all that, I wanted to just maybe take just a quick moment of silence and remember that we are losing workers by the day. We're losing family by the loved ones. There's some encouraging news out there. I'm not going to be all down today. I'm going to talk about positive stuff. I promise y'all it ain't going to be all about beating up cops. But I do want to take just a moment of silence with me, Diane, to remember the people that we've lost over the last few weeks to this tragedy.
Yes. And I think we're over 1,000 in New Jersey. Do you know what the last number was? Was it 1,400 or even more than that?
I don't know.
That's a lot.
I'll be pulling up later, but let's do a moment of silence and then we'll get started with the show. How's that sound?
Okay.
All right. So here we go. Just if you're home, bow your head, say a prayer, meditate, do whatever you'd like to do. But let's just take a moment to remember everybody we've lost over the last few weeks of this horrible disease. All right. Thank you. So, Diane, I did want to talk a little bit about, you know, the safety measures that are coming out. Phil Murphy came out today and made put out some a little bit stricter safety measures. He's requiring masks of employees at essential businesses and several other measures. I do encourage people to both look at what your state, federal, and local governments are doing with a very critical eye. But I don't know how much you've caught about the latest and greatest on that. But particularly in safety in the workplace, and when we talk about our essential workers, the reason why I wanted to start off the show with this is because of my background in union labor, and particularly my background in you know, the trade side of it, which can be dangerous. You know, I was in manholes where gases can build up, and you can go up telephone poles and fall off of them. And if you don't strap off your ladder the way, you can lean over a little bit and wind up. You know, in some pretty awful positions. As a matter of fact, just before I started working out of my garage in Plainfield, we had a tech who didn't lash his ladder properly, went overboard, broke his neck, and is now in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. You know, so we had a motto in IBEW 827 back in the day, and it's been passed around in many local unions, that it's safety first, quality second, and quantity third. And another motto is, no job is so important and no task is so urgent that we cannot take the time to do our work safely. And I felt pressure, you know, just as a phone man from my company, you know, trying to meet quotas and meet production deadlines and stuff. I remember the anxiety and pressure of, you know, trying to be safe and work through difficult conditions. And I can't imagine what our essential workers are right now are going through, you know, with the added of what is putting their very lives in jeopardy to provide us with food and all these essential services. And I'm very concerned with what I saw in some local businesses, what I've seen on the news, what I've seen about whistleblowers being fired, the complaint that I made. And what I will say to workers out there is none of these people, whether it's your mayor, your boss, especially your boss, none of them care about you. And they don't care if you go home to your family, because at the end of the day, you know, if you go down and you're not coming into work tomorrow for whatever reason, whether you're sick, you're hit by a truck, or you die of this horrible disease, they're just going to cross your name off a piece of paper and put another name there and go about business as usual. That's what you are to a capitalist. Mm-hmm. That's what you are to a capitalist system. And so you, well, unfortunately, get libertarian on you a little bit. You got to take that individual responsibility and do your work safely, you know, and take it serious. This isn't a joke. And I think it is lost on some of our younger workers, and it is lost maybe on that have not been in, you know, have not maybe worked in hazardous environments, you know, but I've been in hazardous environments for quite a bit of my career. And I can tell you that I've been around death a number of times because of lack of safety. And so I feel, you know, that to date, up until today, or maybe even over the last week, that the worker safety push has been inadequate from a lot of different ends. But I also feel that we're raising consciousness right now. So I think it's something we need to emphasize both in public policy, in the workplaces. Our labor unions need to be writing strong safety measures into any kind of emergency contractual language. I know some of them got extra money. I'm glad you got extra money. You'll have a nicer coffin, I guess. I don't understand how much money helps you if you're not paying attention to safety first. So, you know, I'm always glad when working class gets more money. That's great. You give them another bigger chunk of the pie. I'm not rooting against more money. But you know, I'm still not going to work if they're not going to give me a mask. I don't care how much money they give me, you know.
Well, and I know there were some. Yeah. There were some grocery markets that were discouraging workers from wearing masks and gloves. And until recently, we didn't have the information. It wasn't given to us that masks could protect individuals. I think a big problem we have is that this is so new and it is very contagious, and it's not just an ordinary cold flu. It is something that is very different, very dangerous. I believe, I lost the number, but there's a stat out there, today's figures. There are over 1,000 people in New Jersey right now on ventilators that are COVID-19 positive. Yeah. And that's it, you know, we want to give all hope and sending as much prayers and well wishes to the people that are in critical care and on ventilators right now. But that's not something, that's not a position you want to be in. So this is not a cold flu. This is a mutated virus that has its own set of circumstances that make it very unique and very different. You have stats for us.
Of course I have stats for you. Everybody thinks I'm just sitting here playing around and fidgeting. Yep. No.
I said 1,400 deaths.
And fidgeting and looking up stats.
Yep. So we're at 1,500 deaths in New Jersey.
That's an insane number. I mean, to anybody to minimize it, that's so much death already. And we're really, no matter what, even if we've cut the trend lines down a little bit, and I don't know what to make of these stats. We discussed that a little bit before the show. That's still to lose 1,500 people. And that's by imagination. Any expert will tell you that's underestimated. That's not as many people that died. And in New York, they're estimating it could be over 2,000 people that died at home of this with having gone to the hospital, never been diagnosed. I've heard some conspiracy theory. We'll get that more later, but like that these numbers aren't real. Because,
But that's, we should focus on the booker.
Yeah. Yep. Any credible source right now is telling me that these numbers are at best under inflated because just the testing and all that. I mean, it's just the hardest thing to get past.
And I want to bring this back to the workers and we get our moment of silence. I also want to give our humongous moment of thanks to, of course, all of our hospital workers, our healthcare workers. It's the people who clean your hospitals. It's your grocery store worker, your pharmacy worker, your bus drivers, your train conductors. I just saw on the train line, I traveled regularly for 14 years. One of our beloved train conductors on the Raritan Valley line just recently passed. Yeah. And I want to give a huge thank you. But one thing that's been burning me up since we went into our COVID crisis mode just about over 3 weeks ago is the fact that our testing is so limited. I'm just going to go with because of the high volume of people they are in contact every day. Hospital workers, we hear these horrific stories that they're not getting protective gear. And I know there's movements and we need to do so much more to protect the people on the front lines. But I'm also concerned at your typical bus driver, pharmacy worker, grocery store worker who sees a ton of people every day. And like we were saying, there were some workers that were told that they were not supposed to wear masks or gloves. I think one concern was if you're not constantly changing your gloves, that there's some people's theories is that the germs stay on the rubber gloves and adhere better than on human skin. I don't have information on that.
Yeah, but they're proper use. I mean, all these things don't even just require equipment. They require equipment and training on how to use equipment properly. A piece of safety equipment using properly can kill you just as bad as, and sometimes worse. I mean, so, and the same as with gloves. And I know, thanks for our comrade Heather there out of Ocean County, who worked with that, with Nobles and stuff like that. She was telling me, basically, you know, gloves are really not as important as you think, but you still got to wash your hands and you can't touch different surfaces. It's really more about like, to me, it's, you know, it's mindset, Diane. It's mindset. Yeah. You focused on what's going on around you. In the Navy, you know, sorry to harken to some military experience, but they taught me this. And you know, they taught me what's called attention to detail. And I remember the saying, have your head on a swivel. I worked on the flight deck of an aircraft carrier. All kinds of shit going on, all kinds, you know, there's an aircraft moving behind you, aircraft moving in front of you. They're starting up an aircraft engine right by your head and you don't even notice. And then you get blown with a blast of jet engine fuel, right? And you can get blown off. You can get killed. You can get run over by an airplane, sucked into an intake, right? Keep your head on a swivel. But this was drilled into us. I was 18, 19 years old, and I was half drunk most of the time. I would never paying attention to any of this. Yeah. Unless every day I heard, keep your head on a swivel, keep your head on a swivel. You know, watch what you're doing. Yeah. Be careful. If a turn on you, duck down, grab your partner. I mean, the same shit over and over and drilling it and drilling it. And I swear you, if that's not going on in the workplace, if that kind of militant mentality about safety isn't going on, then I urge every working class people to do to either instill it in their workplace or walk off the fucking job and not die. That's what I say. No job is so important that you die. I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. And
I can get to kill other people.
And, you know, we even need to be trained on how to wear our masks. I've been hearing that there's an idea. We both wear glasses. If you don't have your mask on right, you steam up your glasses. But if you have it on right, you don't steam up your glasses. So clearly we're not all wearing them correctly. And if you're on the front lines, if you're one of those underpaid essential workers, I really hope that you're getting the correct information for protecting yourself. And, you know, my wish weeks ago was that we were massively testing everybody in the New York metropolitan area, because we could have tracked and done so much better and flattened our curve so much earlier if we would have done a whole lot more. Some of you might have seen, I did my little rant the other day about the January 24th meeting. A lot of people just use that January 24th as a briefing that Trump had. The entire Senate was invited to that meeting and only 14 senators went, in which the potential for a pandemic was going to be talked about. It was specifically the coronavirus. And I'm even having a hard time finding out which senators were present. It was only 14. Why wasn't somebody on June 24th sounding the alarm and rushed adequate testing? And we could talk about that in the other segment, because I have other testing issues to talk about as well.
We definitely will. We're gonna hop off of COVID and stuff right now. Because in the midst of this disaster, and trust me, everybody, we're gonna get to a discussion, really, really important discussion, coming on about the good and the bad and food deliveries and cops being dickwads and all that. But for just a minute, we need to take a break from COVID, because something else really important happened. Apparently. So here's what I think. I think that Donald Trump saw Nicolas Maduro dealing drugs on a street corner somewhere. That's what happened, right? Apparently, for those of you that are not aware, if you want good drugs, just message Nicolas Maduro on Instagram. And
yeah, that's all you gotta do.
He's got some good, what is he selling? Weed and... maybe some hair and mushroom.
Marijuana. It's probably cocaine charges. I mean, look.
Chris. What the fuck?
Nicolas Maduro.
I just rambled on in Vague Book Live. Can you clarify what it is the fuck I just said? Because I don't think anybody understood that but you and me.
Yeah. So Nicolas Maduro, he's a drug dealer now. I don't know if he was a drug dealer last year or the year before that. But, you know, Venezuela. Oh, Tom Violet. Hey, Tom. Thanks for signing on.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah, Venezuela is next to Colombia, and there's a lot of Latinos there. So, you know, something, something drugs. In a nutshell, Trump has absolutely failed in his response with COVID-19. So he's always looking for distraction. So, you know, I'll talk about conspiracy theories later. So first was the Chinese virus. Let's call it the Chinese virus. And people are going to call me a racist. And as long as they're calling me a racist, they're not calling me a failure. Okay. That he's not doing that after a week. So now the latest attempt to oust Maduro in Venezuela is to accuse him and his administration of dealing drugs. So
I think they confused Nicolas Maduro with the CIA. That's all I think.
Well, they probably confused him with Colombia, which is actually our ally. So Colombia is where the drugs are primarily coming from. But of course, they're our ally. We don't say anything, right? There was a member of Brazilian President Bolsonaro's entourage. I think he got caught with coke about a month or two ago, like literally got caught with cocaine on him when they came to the United States. That got swept under the rug, right? We're not going to talk about that. But since Maduro is supposedly, or because drugs, and there's no doubt in my mind, drugs are coming out of Venezuela, whatever, it's a country, right? And it's next to Colombia. Mm-hmm. But to all of a sudden accuse Maduro of being complicit in it, when this wasn't an issue last year, and this wasn't an issue a month ago, and all of a sudden the coronavirus hits, and oh, look, now Venezuela is dealing drugs. I mean, it's now we're moving warships there. So we are wasting manpower, we are wasting money, we are wasting resources to send warships to a country that doesn't even have warships, right? Like what are Venice, you know, it's an absurdity. So Donald Trump, this is just the latest attempt at misdirection from the Trump regime. Look, if Venezuelans are dealing drugs, it's because they're poor, because their country is being economically blockaded. Right. We have created such a crappy situation in that country that people have to resort to dealing drugs, and we're going to accuse them of it. And we're going to just say, hey, it's Maduro because we don't like him. It's just more lies, more nonsense coming out of the Trump administration. I mean, it's the worst president at the worst possible time.
Yeah. Yeah.
No doubt.
And on some levels, he might even be using the fact that we are in COVID crisis also as a time in which we're distracted.
Oh,
so
yeah.
He can do. I think most Americans don't know that we have warships off the coast of Venezuela. And assuming that can be getting close to consider a threat to their national security.
Yeah, it
and
is.
It's an actual threat to their national security.
Yeah.
Tom Violet, on the Facebook thread is saying, you know, they did the same thing in 90s with
Aristide. Yeah, they deposed him. Right.
I mean, this is, but we, and they just wanted to get rid of the commies. You know what I mean? But he's right. And Tom, just for those of you that don't know Tom Violet, Tom was in Haiti when that shit went down. So, you know, let's make sure that we understand the source on that. Is a good one. But, you know, this is a model that I mean, are they serious right now? And I right after, so basically they accuse him of being a drug dealer. It's ridiculous nonsense. And then within maybe 24, 48 hours, there's our statements department stooge up there on the stand saying, well, I tell you what, if you do new elections and you don't run, then maybe we'll stop these drug charges against you. Like, are you fucking serious? Like, hey, you know, Chris, they're sticking them up. They're sticking them up right in front of the whole world.
Gangsterism. That's all it is. Look, being an American, who was his name? Bob Avakian, the head of the Revolutionary Communist Party. He made a joke one time. I saw it. Cracked me up. He said, being an American
is your leader, Bob.
Yeah. He said, being an American is like living in Tony Soprano's house, right? We have all these good things here, but nobody wants to ask the question as to why we have the good things and the blood that was spilled to acquire these things. So why do Americans live so well? Because it was because of sacrifices made elsewhere. But as Americans, we don't want to acknowledge that. So, you know, this is where we're at. I mean, this is why Bernie Sanders dropped out of the race today. This is why Biden is going to lose to Trump. It's the Democrats. Look at how quickly they fell in line with Trump over this Venezuela thing. There are no Democrats talking or calling out Trump over Venezuela. And then they want to act like we want, like the whole resistance thing. It's a joke. It's a sham. You've got the criminals and then you've got the enablers. And that's what's happening in Venezuela. There are so many liberals that I talk to that are anti-Maduro. It is infuriating how counterproductive they are.
They have no idea because they don't have any politics.
No.
When I think of the Democratic Party, I think of a room full of idiots with a lot of money drinking champagne.
Yeah.
And they're all sitting there and they just tap heads until somebody gets up and starts talking at them. Yeah. And they don't know really what's going on, but they're half drunk and they're having a good time and they're eating chicken. And then a fire breaks out and they all just get up and start like pushing each other out of the way and just like trying to, you know, like shove and get to the door first. There's no order because all it is a big fucking party for rich idiots with a lot of money who want to get drunk with powerful people. And it's a crazy, like they're not administrators, they're not bureaucrats, they're not meeting to discuss policy, they're not meeting to discuss how to organize a community, they're not meeting to discuss healthcare infrastructure or building our roads and bridges or coming into a clean economy. They're getting drunk and changing money and tapping heads in an emergency. And unless we start addressing these systemic moronic stupidity, that governs our entire society at this point. We're just going to, it doesn't matter whether COVID or the next one or a war or charging another nation's elected president with trafficking drugs so you can muscle in your own tool. Are we, nobody is taking us fucking seriously anymore.
Yeah. Donald Trump accused us of being under Obama. We are now under him, right? Yeah. We have no allies. We are a laughingstock. We are it's an absolute disaster and embarrassment in dealing with this pandemic. Trump is profiting. Like it's a shit show. Like, I don't know what to put it. I mean, like, I was talking with my wife earlier who teaches history. She's really good with the students. And I said, how many liberals can make the connection between redlining from the 40s, 50s and 60s to the fact that African Americans and Latinos are trapped in the cities now on the front lines fighting COVID-19 because they weren't allowed out of the cities. They're still there today. They weren't given the opportunities. And that systemic racism, we're still dealing with it today. And the Democrats don't even get that. I have been flooded with text messages and Facebook messages about Bernie. I'm like, you people are looking at the horizon and you can't see beyond that.
Yeah. Heather's favorite music is on. So I'll pop her into the story real quick because she's gonna. Hi, Heather Warburton. How are you down there?
Hey, everyone.
Staying safe down there, comrade.
Yeah, it's not hitting quite as hard down in South Jersey as it is up by you guys, but still taking all the precautions.
Definitely, everybody should. So thank you very much. Tonight's show is brought to you by Hub City Smokes, 84 Patterson Street in New Brunswick, New Jersey. Glass, custom glass. Dimitri makes his own glass. He ain't ordering off the websites and retailing. He's an artist, and what he does is beautiful. They're not an essential business. They're not open right now. I know they do some stuff through Instagram. I'm not really sure how these businesses are allowed to operate or what he can do. So, but at least throw them some support on Instagram and see how they're doing. I know Dimitri does some other businesses too around town. So, check him out. He's a great guy. Hub City Smokes, 84 Patterson Street. They are our main sponsors for this evening. We also want to give a little mention to the National New Jersey. I'm sorry. Let's start that over again. The New Jersey Abortion Access Fund. They have a 2020 virtual fund-a-thon going on right now. And you can see on our little ticker, if you're watching on YouTube, Twitter, or Facebook right now, you can see on the ticker the website. But I will read it for our podcast audience. Get out your pen. I'm talking slowly just for you right now. www.fund.nnaf.org/NJAAF_fundathon. One more time, https://fund.nnaf.org/NJAAF_fundathon. All right, got through that. Now, Heather, you know about the Cherry Hill Women's Center, right? How's Roxanne doing over there?
Yeah, I mean, they still have protesters showing up outside of their clinics, not following, you know, safety guidelines. They're not wearing masks. They're still showing up and protesting outside of there. So it's ridiculous, but they're still doing good work over there. They're one of the frontline abortion providers in New Jersey. They're one of the only ones that provide third trimester abortions. That's all they do at the Cherry Hill Women's Center is provide abortions. So they're one of our warriors here for women's rights.
Horror stories going on around the country about abortion access and women's healthcare and just healthcare in general. You know, they're closing down in many states. They're closing down saying they're not essential services. Yeah. That they, for some reason, they could hurt the hospital or drain resources. Abortions are not performed in hospitals, and there is no drain on resources. And these are life. See, I said this last week. I'm going to say it every week. These are life-saving services. Women need them to be healthy and to live through this crisis. And it is a disgrace that politicians are seizing on this advantage. So we really, really ask you one more time. I'm going to give that website out. It is, now that the music stopped, it'll be very clear. All right. https://fund.nnaf.org/NJAAF_fundathon. And if you need that link, and you see it scrolling on the bottom of our screen while we move to our panel here. So I talked about Hub City Smokes, right? I talked about that. And of course, you can donate to New Jersey Revolution Radio. I will talk more about that after our panel run by Dion Moxley on what's going on around New Jersey. I did a lot of study on this, so I wanted to let my partner know I got a lot of stuff because I really literally probably for at least the last 48 hours and going back even a little before that, I've done a lot of phone calling around the state. I said it before the show. I want to thank everybody that got back to me, that reached out to me, including my own city council person here in town regarding the incident when I called a non-emergency line and got a dickhead cop instead. I want to be able to recognize that we've all had anxiety. We're all in a place that's never been before. And I think we should just all be trying our best. And I will start off by those of you that don't know, I call this non-emergency line. I called them before and I just talked to a dispatcher or somebody. They didn't really identify themselves. And I always record everything, every interaction I have with the police. And if you're not, it wasn't a gotcha call. I just happen to do this every time I interact with the police. I record it. It's smart. So I wind up talking after the dispatcher was kind of unhelpful, although I just credit that with her not being trained. And that's what I looked at. I get an officer on the phone who basically just kind of was like, okay, I'm not doing nothing for you, and hung up on me very rudely. I did tell him to go fuck himself. I was asked to apologize for telling him to go fuck himself. We're told I can't. I'm sorry. I was told I can't say that he can go fuck himself. I'll be adamant that I can tell him to go fuck himself. But I want to thank Councilman Corey Spiller, who's my councilman here in my part of Woodbridge. He did reach out to me. I did try messaging him, and I didn't have any other contacts, and it was the weekend. I acted with urgency. I put the video up on YouTube to rattle people to get them to understand what's going on in the shops and the stores. I saw a problem in my community, and I am blessed and really fortunate to have so many comrades that have helped me build a media network that I was able to get this out quickly and get a response quickly. And that's how I decided to act as an activist, as media, as a really a community member that was really worried about people not behaving in a, as I talked about earlier in the show, using safety in the workplace, something I know a lot about. And rather than be heard, I was ignored and very rude. The follow-up on that was a little more productive. And I will be posting, Councilman Spillar sent me the links and what the town is, and we'll get more into what towns are doing here in a minute. But I do want to say that, not going to repost the video. I'm not going to play the video again. I'm going to leave it up as a warning to other townships that this is just not how you behave when people call in and have legitimate health concerns. There should be some kind of access to power right now that is not shut down for the weekend. Councilman Spillar defended the township. He defended the police department. He did say that his town health department officials are working around the clock right now. They are visiting businesses. I have seen masks go on. I have seen this result directly in my town. So I'm not here to beat up people that are out there trying their best despite very difficult circumstances. But there was an incident right there that needed to be highlighted. It was just how not to be true. I will cap off by saying, as I stated, I was in the military. I was in several states. We are drilled for these things. I was drilled for if the boat would sink. I was drilled for if we get hit by missiles. I was drilled for medical emergencies, fires, nuclear accidents, because I was on a nuclear aircraft carrier. I was 18 years old. If you just put me on a boat and lit off a nuclear reactor, I would just run off the ship and die. But because I was trained, that's not how I would have acted. I would have gone to the appropriate place and played my role in an emergency. It's clearly not how the Woodbridge Police Department has been trained. It's clearly not how they've been trained right now. And so if your people haven't been trained how to act in an emergency, I know how to set up the video room for you.
Okay. So we're going to talk about community response, and I understand. So Brian's got some info to share with us. Heather, you've been doing some research.
Oh, we have to talk about conspiracy theory, though.
What's that?
You can hide me out and bring me back in later. I don't really have much to add to this part of the discussion.
Oh, yes, you do.
Other than I'd like to commend the city of Long Branch for making sure every child gets fed lunch, and I think that that's incredibly important. And I think it's important we see a lot of these communities responding. Mm-hmm. And magically, they have the money to provide food, to provide shelter. Shelter for some people. But this issue of not being able to feed children has been ongoing too long. Now there's really no excuse to not feed the children. It's there's no excuses anymore. We have the money. We have the resources to feed the children. We should do that. But I'll back off from this one.
Excellent. It's important to note that with the public schools, many school districts, if you call them, they are providing breakfast and lunch to children. You can just come by and pick up if you, I've been told there's a good response because our beloved Teresa Marquila is doing excellent work with Mutual Morris in Morris County. And they're even able to collect multiple lunches and breakfasts for families that children are immune compromised or there's some other type of condition in the family. So one thing I love, but I want to also hear about community, is community response. But I also love that these concepts of mutual aid are popping up all over the place. And there's even some of your regular everyday folks that aren't at all radical that I'm seeing them. I live in Garwood and there's a community board. And people are communicating now more frequently there, letting each other know where they can get the right, Lysol products, keeping each other informed of what's going on in our local ShopRite. But even doing things like, oh, hey, I have, you know, a few extra packs of Clorox wipes. Who needs some? Or, hey, I have this. And it's like accidental mutual aid. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a beautiful thing that humans kind of will naturally revert into taking care of each other, I believe, when we do face a crisis. I mean, there's also the people who panic and just go total outright asshole. But I think it's more in our nature to want to help and want to come together, even though we can't physically come together now that we do have our online virtual worlds. I think that's going to help. So I'm going to be encouraged. I know we're in COVID crisis, but I'm going up. We have CJ Brown. Sorry if I miss any comments. Sometimes they come and go quick on here. CJ, we lost a food bank worker here in Bradley Beach, mother of three, early 50s. Our local restaurants are now fundraising for our food pantry, which has been nearly wiped out in her honor. I mean, that's what we're hearing, these frontline victims, nurses, we're hearing. I think there was another food bank worker somewhere in the Bergen County area who might have been about a week ago. So our heart goes out to all of these frontline workers, and we need to protect them. So what are our communities doing to protect everyone?
Well, on the mutual aid topic still, I wanted to mention the South Jersey Mutual Aid. They are doing some amazing work down here. They set up their initial list and they got 148 families that reached out for help to them. And so far, I think they helped like everyone on their initial list in varying ways. So they've helped over 100 families either through getting them food, getting them rides to places, picking up food for them if they were unable to go out. They've had them, you know, like you said, picking up the food from schools that were giving it out, taking it to food banks. So pretty much, and some people just reached out with basic questions, but they've helped like over 100 families here in South Jersey. And now they're talking about possibly helping local farmers who might be being affected by it because they did a lot of fundraising and they might actually be helping set up like some community supported agriculture now. So I think it's going to have some lasting impact, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah. I want to have hope that out of this extreme tragedy is something that none of us could have ever imagined. Imagine 4 months ago, if you said, oh, yeah, by the way, guys, you're going to not be able to leave your house for a few months. And
1 month ago.
Work. And yeah, imagine. I mean, we're going to get through this and maybe we're going to form connections that have never existed before. And I've said this before, I think we all need to pull together. Some of us, we do go into our party lines and our politics. I don't care if, you know, I don't care what your politics are. If you're going to be out there in, well, safely out there in the community with the appropriate protective gear when you do have to transport goods, I think we all need to go into our party lines and our politics. You know.
Yeah.
And Brian, you did some research on our community response as well, or was that your...
Yeah, I mean, I looked around the state and I want to go, and I got into it, you know, I did already beat up my own town a little bit. But I do, of course, you know, I did see that there's some Meals on Wheels programs going to seniors. There are little things. And I think, you know, some of the problem is, you know, that people, you know, are don't know how to organize or don't really know what to do. So it takes a little bit of proactive work, I think, out there. And I do agree that, you know, the state response as far as like tying stuff together and getting public information out there is getting better. But there's a lot of confusion just because I think that Governor Murphy in particular, he's taking like this right tone, right? He's this in charge guy. He's doing a press conference every day. Mm-hmm. But I also think because he's being cautious, because everybody's being so cautious, they don't want to put out bad information. But, you know, the science is new on this. They're really, when I talk to Lori, of course, I called Lori Endicott Thomas about this. The science is so absolutely brand new on this that they're doing their best to put out stuff without putting out, you know, conspiracy theory or that vitamin C can cure this. You know, like we need to make sure that the information, and I feel that pressure, Diane, and we talked a little bit about this. I feel that pressure as media, just in this little YouTube show that we do. You know, I feel that pressure. If I don't want to say something that somebody takes the wrong way, somebody goes out there and does something dumb because of either I said something uninformed or whatever, and it winds up affecting somebody's health. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think that kind of mentality has kept them from putting out stuff to scare people. And like everybody's on this tightrope when you're in the public eye. But that is translated into this like very weak network response throughout the political scene in New Jersey. And that's where I think like the problem I had here in Woodbridge was the same, you know. When I called around, though, I'll tell you one of the things I saw. I'll give a positive, though. Newark, Ross Baraka, where this thing is going to be bad and it's on its way up. And I hope that we flatten the curve. But he has gotten very, very strict on cracking down. The community is one that there's a lot of outdoors activities with the community. Everybody's been down Broad Street in Newark. Newark, for those of you that aren't too familiar, that might be listening from another place, is our little New York City. It's not as big, but it is the most populated city in New Jersey. It is a hub of transportation. There's an airport there. It's our version of a big city. It's New Jersey's big city. And with that, you know, with that power being the mayor of that city comes great responsibility. And while I have a lot of criticisms and I pray for that community, and I do hope that the hospital system there is ready for serious intake. They've closed hospitals there over the past few years and there's serious concerns.
Yeah.
His messaging was positive. His messaging was one that was encouraging. And he was calling out block by block. We know you're hanging out on this corner. We know you're hanging out in front of this shop. Y'all break it up. You all get out of there. Go home. You got to care about your families. The way he was delivering the message was one that communicated to me as a working class person. It was entertaining. It was spirited, and it was one that you know, characterized it as something that we need to do if we love each other. He also in his dialogue pumped up you know, ways you can take in art and music and the Newark scene, which I've so, you know, I'm so lucky to live close to Newark and be able to pop in and out of there in a few minutes. It's right down the road, literally. Is something I've enjoyed for since I was a child. My great grandmother, we used to go there for Christmas when I was a kid. So I've always loved Newark, even though I've never resided there. You know, and I've always encouraged people to take in the art out of Newark. It's just amazingly beautiful culture. Diane, you know, you've been there as well. So that culture is online now. And I one of these things where I'm going to put politics aside. I've heard Ross say some dumb shit, man. He's buddying up with Joe D. And I don't know what the fuck happened to our revolutionary city council person that everybody used to love at times. But watching his live stream today, it was uplifting. And I do credit him for bringing the art into it and recognizing the stress of being isolated for some people and recognizing that you need some release. You need to have some social activity. So he brought that into it. I saw that as a great response.
One thing I
hope people are seeing positive things come out of this as well. You know?
Yeah. And I think it's, you know, I am a huge advocate of staying at home, and I'm a huge advocate of everybody taking precautions, washing their hands, disinfecting, yada, yada. But there is a great exaggeration about the numbers in Newark. You have to remember the population size of Newark. If you take other towns throughout Essex County, and you look at the positive rates compared to Newark, the percentage the percentages are virtually the same. One I did the other day was Montclair versus Newark, and they're close together. The percentages are the same. So what I'm getting at, though, is stay the F home, but let's treat everybody with respect. And every mayor can talk to their constituents as they see fit. So if he's telling everybody to stay the F home, I agree with Roz. Yeah.
And Munir, you know what? They're all con people. He's a politician. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's
shouldn't have people terrified as if Bidens are just dropping left and right in Newark.
I'm not getting black and white and culty with this right now. I don't give a shit who you work for. I don't care. Heather's got a Republican idiot down there delivering food to all people.
I'm kind of surprised. Like, I mean, before I start praising, I live in Hamilton. Before I start praising them, I want to say, you know, I did protest the town's Christmas parade with Antifa, you know, just so we can set the tone for the town I live in.
I got arrested by Rob. Come on.
But, you know, as far as response, like, it's been really pretty good. They've done a good job. Now, our mayor is not a Republican. He's an independent. But we have a mixture of independent and Republicans on town council. They set up a coronavirus task force like a month ago.
Wow.
And, you know, it's three subcommittees, one of which is entirely staffed by doctors, nurses, first responders. And that's like the health and safety portion. And they're having weekly meetings informing the mayor and the town about, you know, liaisoning with the local emergency room. There's the like outreach where they're actually the town's delivering food to seniors and immunocompromised people. And then there's like the more business side where they're trying to walk people through how to apply for the grants and stuff like that. But this is all being done through a really conservative town is still stepping up and doing all this. And I talked to the mayor a couple of days ago, and we have about a 75% compliance rate, which is pretty good for most of the towns in New Jersey of people that are following the guidelines. Obviously, you know, not everyone is. Like, my neighbors decided to have a party over the weekend. They decided, I guess, if they were in their front yard, that the germs couldn't find them.
Oh, I can add that to my list of bad. There you go.
Stop those parties. You can do them online. You can all have your drinks every Friday night. Many of us are members of the Green Party. We have a cocktail hour. You can have virtual cocktail hours. Cut that crap out.
Yeah, they were eating cake in their front yard. Like, I don't know why they
just having a party in your front yard is no different than having a party
in your backyard.
Right. Inside your house. Like, they had to go inside to get utensils and then come out. But
did you hear about what happened in Boston last week?
What'd you say?
I said, did you hear about what happened in Rumson last week? This guy, he was 50 years old. He has a party where they're doing like a Pink Floyd acoustic cover show. And it was a bunch of like, this is Rumson. So those that don't know Rumson,
very
impressive. Like, community in the entire state, like wealthy, white privilege. So the cops come to break it up and they were literally chanting, fuck the police. And they said, this isn't Nazi Germany. I honestly believe the biggest
revolution is on.
The biggest barrier
I've seen oppressed in Rumson.
It's the white privilege, the obliviousness, the Americanism, this inability to understand that they live in a false reality and that this virus is going to bite them in the ass. But for me, the positive is all these former institutions that Americans had faith in, you know, bootstraps, doing it by yourself, blowing away big government. We see the necessity for big government. We see the necessity for mutual aid. We see bootstraps being a joke. Like, all these ideas of doing it by yourself, you can't do this by yourself. It takes a community to fight this virus. The one positive in all this is that these conservative mantras are being crushed one by one.
Yep. And Christian. Yeah. You were going to touch on some of the conspiracy theories. So we need a community response to crushing the conspiracy theories.
Yeah. So there's so many. I don't think I'll ever be able to get to them all. And the one that I think was Heather and you and Heather and Diane, the two of you, brought up to me about 90 minutes ago was this film your hospital thing. I hadn't heard. I kind of heard about that and I forgot about it. Yeah, these are all Trumpers. This is a Trumper thing. So basically what it is Trumpers, because they're still in the mindset of downplaying the virus, are going to hospitals. And their argument is, look, see, there's no cars in the parking lot. So because there's no cars in the parking lot, this is obviously a hoax and it's overblown. There's no cars in the parking lot because they're not letting everybody into the goddamn hospital. So, yeah. I mean, this started with QAnon. It started in Fox News. And like all conspiracy theories, it kind of snowballed into something bigger. We had this is the one, and this I wanted to tell Brian about this, right? And Roseanne Barr came out with a gem this week. She said that she believed, she was on a phone call with Norm Macdonald. Maybe it was a joke, I don't know. She's been crazy lately, and thankfully the Green Party has distanced themselves from her, right?
But yes,
she came out yesterday or 2 days ago and said that she believes that COVID-19 is a plot to kill baby boomers. I don't know. Whatever. I don't know.
They're on to us.
What was that?
they're on to us.
They're on to us. I mean, the other two big conspiracy, or the other two big ones, one is that it's manufactured. So there's this myth that the Chinese created it in a lab to weaponize it to kill Americans. Senator Tom Cotton, Republican from Arkansas, surprised. Basically, he alluded that the reason the Chinese, his argument for why it was created was that there is a level 4 biosecurity lab in Wuhan. So the Chinese slipped up and it magically got out. So not only are the Chinese incompetent, not only are they shady, they're incompetent because they couldn't keep this drug under wraps. It's another lie. There was a Chinese foreign minister who accused the U.S. military of creating the coronavirus to weaponize it against the Chinese. That's one of the crazy ones. You have anti-vaxxers. I thought they went away, but they were just reforming. They are, a lot of them are saying that the response to COVID-19, the quarantines, the lockdown, that this is all the cover to get us all vaccinated, that they're locking us down in an effort to scare people into getting vaccinations. So they didn't go away. They just got stupid.
I haven't heard that. Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Have you seen that one?
I actually haven't heard that one yet.
Yeah. Yeah,
they're out there.
I really wish I'd known everything. I don't want to learn things from you.
No, you don't want to know.
I love you.
Some say that last year's flu vaccine had COVID-19 in it because they'll look at, you can see the flu shots, that there's a panel of immunizations in one flu shot. So they pick like 4 or 5 different flus, and coronavirus is a type of flu. So they see, oh my God, there's coronavirus in the flu shot. It's like not COVID-19.
It's not scholarship. It's not journalism. It's not research. It's called pedantry, right? They're looking around. They're cherry picking all these facts, all these points, and some of them are facts. And they're trying to like mold this narrative, and it doesn't work. But Heather brought one up before in a text message. She asked me, and this one I think is my personal favorite, is that 5G cell phone towers are causing the coronavirus. And she's already laughing. Look, she can't control it. So David Hike, the king of conspiracy theorists in Britain, actually just got kicked off his social media because he's been pushing that narrative. In Britain, 20 as of last week, The Guardian was reporting that 20 different 5G cell phone towers had been set on fire. Right. Yeah.
Wow.
So, I didn't. I don't know if anybody announced, but once this is lifted, New Jersey Revolution Radio is already planning our first fundraiser. It will be held underneath a 5G tower. We will be serving Chinese food and everybody in attendance will get a
abortions
free
on vaccine. Demand.
Abortions on demand. Well, we'll have to put it in the back. You know, maybe the Cherry Hill Women's Center. We'll figure that out. We want to be healthy and safe. But yeah, I mean, like these, and the 5G thing drives me nuts because that's something I actually know the science behind. And it's just very simple. Ionizing radiation.
5G powers.
There's two kinds of radiation. Ionizing radiation and non-ionizing.
Yeah. There are no 5G powers.
Yeah. if you can't, if you have non-ionizing radiation, it doesn't, it has, it is no capability of changing molecular structure. It can't change genetics and do things to your molecules that make you sick. And ionizing radiation can do that. Gamma radiation can do that. You know, nuclear uranium, you know, that kind of radiation can do those things. And that's why you get, you know, radiation poisoning or other illnesses. If it's non-ionizing, all it does is move cells around very, very slightly. That's why a microwave is non-ionizing. All it does is move cells around. The only way you can hurt yourself by having microwaves is if you boil your head in. So as long as you don't put your head in a microwave, it can't.
That's really hard to do.
Because you have to move the molecules around fast enough to have them actually like boil and cook. It doesn't have the change. So it's very simple. And 5G and all these technologies are non-ionizing radiation. They have no zero health effects. Zero. They just can't. They're not capable of doing it scientifically. Like, again, so my advice to all of you is just be safe. Get your news and your stuff from credible sources. And Christian, I know there's more to this stuff. I love to hear it go on, man. But I do. I'm just teasing a little bit, but it's educational out there to know that, look, you know, talk to an expert, talk to somebody that, and like to, and there's like the immediate distrust. Like I countered somebody online and immediately like I'm in bed with the pharmaceutical companies. Are you nuts? I worked for the phone company for a while.
That's how it works.
I know this shit. Everybody in the phone company knows it because it's common goddamn sense to people in a trade.
Yeah.
But so people that don't know. I'm a tool of the communications industry. I got fired for them for being part of a wildcat strike. I'm not their best fucking person in the world. All right.
Yeah. I got called a tool or a paid influencer from the pharmaceutical industry. And people who know my history, I am like every doctor's worst nightmare because I actually try really hard to not be on medications. I'm not somebody who believes that you should never take medications, but I am somebody who believes you should do diet and exercise first. And then what conditions you have that cannot be helped by diet and exercise, then you go on to medication. So I really laugh when people think I'm pro pharmacy, like you should talk to my doctors.
Just blow people off. I mean, people like, look, there are no 5G towers in some of the poorest places in the world, right? But it's a lack of thought. It's people that don't know just talking. And then unfortunately, we have a president who has done everything in his power to make this situation worse, right? Spreading misinformation. When he called it the Chinese virus, right? He did that knowing that there would be violence against Asian Americans, right? I got a report from one of my sister's friends, Korean. The mother works at, I think, the commissary on a military base. She's Korean. And some soldier made a smart ass comment to her about, oh, I guess I better stay away from you. Right. I mean, my wife and I are upset. Like all of our local Chinese restaurants are closed. Like it's bad. I mean, the racism. Yeah. I mean, I could go back. I could talk about the history. People are afraid of radios. People think cell phones still cause cancer. Right. The reaction to pandemic has always been xenophobia and it's always been bigotry. Right. Yeah. When it was the plagues in Europe, they blamed the Jews. When it was typhoid during World War II, they blamed the Jews. And right-wing governments will use the fear of the coronavirus, and they're doing it in Eastern Europe now, and they're doing it in Texas with the abortion ban that they passed yesterday.
Yeah.
Diane brought this up. Naomi Klein wrote The Economic Shock Doctrine, right? When things are screwy in a country, and while people are confused and not paying attention, through the back door, there's all kinds of bad legislation. And that's what happened. It's called the shock doctrine. You could look it up. I just wanted to throw that tidbit in there because you made that excellent point. But
I mean,
conspiracy theories are terrifying and they're innumerable.
And I think there's a place to talk about vitamins and there's a place to talk about eating right and diet and exercise and all that. Yeah. I mean, listen, your doctor will tell you to do those things too. Now's not the time to highlight it as a cure for a deadly virus that's, killed 1,500 of our fellow New Jersey residents and thousands more across the globe. So, you know, save that shit right now. All right. Save that shit right now. Let's focus on a priority, which is saving our neighbors from this deadly virus. We got to wrap it up soon to your partner. And everybody get their plugs in. Let's do it to it.
Well, I'm going to plug our Friday evening green cocktail hour. So everybody see on I believe it's the Facebook live stream. You can contact Tom Violet if you'd like to be added to the list. I might even partake and have a cocktail this Friday. I haven't had a cocktail in like probably 5 or 6 weeks. Anybody else have any things you'd like to do?
I'll go Monday, Wine, Women, and Revolution. I'm going to be publishing an interview with the Audible Anarchists. They have a YouTube channel where they're reading great works of anarchist theory and history. And they've been doing it for a couple of years now. So I have an interview with them all about their project. And then coming up the last Friday of the month, it's coming on our third month, me and Jeremy will be having our where we read some sort of communist or socialist theory, have a little discussion. For this month, we're reading Einstein's Why Socialism. So if anyone wants to read along with us, it's a live show. You can join in and read it and comment on it along with us. So that's the last Friday of the month at 5 p.m. live on New Jersey Revolution Radio. And I think that's all the plugs I have right now.
Excellent.
Okay, so I am Christian Perez. I am the host of Modernity and Absurdity. It's a podcast that I really don't work on. I got a bug in me over this conspiracy theory thing. So I'm currently working on a new episode that I hope to have out soon. And I hope you guys can help me plug. Look me up on Stitcher, SoundCloud, all that stuff, Modernity and Absurdity. Anybody that wants to email me can do so. PerezPodcast@gmail.com. I've been on Heather's show. I've been on Diane's show a few times. Look me up. I'm glad to be a part of the team.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Brian jumps in. I'm going to jump in one more time. I'm going to ask people to go search for local mutual aid organizations. We have a newly formed Union County Mutual Aid, and we've started with a fundraiser for the Elizabeth Coalition to house the homeless because they had their annual gala canceled. So we're trying to help them make ends meet. So please look for Union County Mutual Aid and all of your other mutual aid groups locally. Sorry, Brian.
No, it's okay. We're always messy on the closeout. We'll get it straight someday. We've only been doing this for 2 years. We're not, it's okay. But I did want to thank everybody that's been in contact. I feel like I've talked to the whole world in the last couple of weeks. I'm going to, with this post, if you look at www.njrevolutionradio.com, I'll be listing a bunch of links for localities and other, if there's community gardening or whatever you're involved in, whether it's community aid groups, townships doing stuff, I don't care. I'm throwing politics completely out the window because it's an emergency. We need to utilize everything at hand. It's called all hands on deck. That's what it's called. So as long as you're doing your part, and sometimes, and you know what, your part may just be staying the fuck at home. So do your part if that's your part. But, if there is ways that we can assist each other and do it safely, I encourage that. You can email us info@njrevolutionradio.com. You can message us through our website or our Facebook page or whatever. I mean, we're not hard to find. All right. But I do want to point out that some of these state employees, they're still coming to work. Governor Murphy, like I said, has done some of this good rhetoric, but immediately commissioners started reclassifying certain employees as essential when they're not really essential because they just want to have their little fiefdom in place through this crisis. All right. These things are intolerable and we know about it and we're keeping an eye on it. So if your workplace isn't safe and you work for anybody, whether it be a private, whether it's Amazon or whether it's a state position or whatever, you can get in touch with us. And we'll try to, we will not disclose your name. We'll keep you confidential as a media source. We want to make sure you're being treated right. And we've seen the way some whistleblowers, I didn't get to talk about the people that have been fired from Amazon and UPS and other organizations for speaking out about unsafe conditions. Our workers deserve better than lip service. And that means they need to, have protections and we need to be able to protect them. They shouldn't be getting fired for pointing that out. New Jersey Revolution Radio is here for you. Also, we are putting together a lot more COVID media. Lori Endicott Thomas, I talk to her regularly. She informs me. She's informed you. We want to do more. We are right now in the process of looking for ways to fund more media around this crisis and ways not just to, beat up people, but also ways to educate local communities and fill the gaps where the system is not filling the gaps. And we start out right here in an emergency, but we don't know where it's going to go. You can contribute at www.njrevolutionradio.com/donate, or you can become a Patreon. You can get early episodes of Wine, Women, and Revolution. You can get special videos of this show and more. And until next week, 8 p.m. Wednesday, Twitter, YouTube, or Facebook Live, I am Brian Powers, and I want to remind all of you that the police can quit their jobs.
And this is Diane. My end tagline used to be that I will see you in the streets. But as we all know, I don't want to see you in the streets. I want to see you in your homes, on your video chats, because I care about our frontline workers. I care about our hospital workers, the people who clean the hospitals, your grocery store workers, your pharmacy workers. You're staying home for all of them. We have to stop the spread. Stay home.